Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Arroyo Grande City Council and also the Arroyo Grande Redevelopment Agency for Tuesday, June 26th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Fellows?
Here.
Councilmember Costello and Mayor Pro Tem Arnold are absent tonight. Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Item 3 is our flag salute. We're pleased this evening to have the Central Coast Masonic Lodge, number 237, here to lead us in the flag salute. If you would please remain standing for our invocation. Pastor Robert Banker is here from the Open Door Church in Oceano to do that for us this evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
shall we pray? As we come nearing the close of this beautiful day, we give thanks for all the many blessings we receive. All those things are available for us, and for the goodness that we enjoy. We thank you for the privilege of living in this community. We're especially thankful also for the dedicated service of the council, for their faithfulness and for their generosity in serving for not only for the maintenance but also for the betterment of the community. We pray that you would give them wisdom and guidance. This we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Before you leave, we were hoping you might spend just a minute or two and let us know a little bit more about the Masonic Lodge and some of the activities that you're involved in these days?
The reason I'm running is King David's Lodge up in San Luis is having a degree tonight, and they've asked for our assistance.
Oh, okay.
So I will be on my way up there. Arroyo Lodge, number 274, has been here since 1884. And Guadalupe Lodge has been in Guadalupe and Santa Maria since 1874. And the two of us merged about 4 years ago, and we are now called Central Coast Lodge number 237. Just give a hint that you'd like to, we'll come running after you. Good. Thank you.
Very good. We appreciate you coming tonight. Drive safe as you're heading north. All right, that takes us to item 5 this evening, special presentations. We have none. Takes us to item 6, agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That takes us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to come forward and offer any comments, suggestions, recommendations on items that are not posted on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on matters not posted on the agenda. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as a whole. Once again, these are items that are not on this evening's agenda. Anyone who would like to come forward during community comments, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Good evening, Jean.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
Good.
My name is Jean Wade, and I live right here in Arroyo Grande, in Rancho Grande. And a while back, we had a meeting here about the further development over there in the center where Trader Joe's is. So far, I haven't heard anything. I've had a few people contact me from the company Oasis. But on the other hand, I've heard a couple of rumors, and I don't know whether they're true or not, but I heard that apparently the big plan for Petco is not going to go through. And I was wondering, and everybody in our community is wondering whether they're actually going to have anybody moving into the restaurant. And I don't know whether anybody here knows or not. But the only other thing I've been requested to do was give a list of the homeowners, which I can't do. but they seem to want to contact everybody about some further meetings, the Oasis Company. So I don't know whether you were aware of that and might have something to offer to let me know what's going on.
Well, we can take no action, but I can perhaps provide you with some additional quick additional information. There is another project submittal that is coming forward, and it's still very much in draft form. Investec is bringing it forward. We expect that that will be coming back very soon, and it will be presented subsequent to, I'm sure, more interaction with the neighbors. So those and there'll be some scheduled on-site meetings for members of the council and anyone from the Planning Commission that would like to attend as a courtesy. We've asked them to conduct those on-site meetings so that we get a better look at what they're proposing. So that's all we know right now.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else on community comments and suggestions? Once again, items not published on this evening's agenda. Okay. Seeing no one else, we will close our first community comments and suggestions. This will take us to the consent agenda, item 8. This is normally a group of items that any of you would like to comment on. We would invite you to come forward. Once again, please be mindful of the three-minute rule. Anyone who would like to comment on consent items this evening? Okay. We'll close public comment on the consent agenda, and we'll bring this back to the council. And what is the will of the council? Any items to pull for further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull 8F.
8F, please.
Okay. We have a request to pull 8F, and I would also like to pull 8H for a quick correction, clarification. Councilmember Guthrie, anything this evening? Okay. Then before we get into 8F and H, I will entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8H with the exception of 8F and 8H.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second discussion. Hearing none, anything in there to read this evening?
Jeremy? Yes, Mr. Mayor, an important ordinance. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande to approve Development Code Amendment 07003, amending portions of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code, Chapters 16.04 and 16.44 of Title 16, to establish creek setback standards.
Thank you very much. If there's no other discussion, roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Councilmember Fellows, 8F.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question. It's on sometimes and is on there. It's on now. So there's a connection problem. Short. Regarding the parking lot, it's my understanding from what I heard through the grapevine that maybe I'm getting a clarification right now, but I go ahead with what I was about to say. The Mankinses own, the Mankins family owns two lots there. One lease is up for renewal soon, and another one, as I understand it, next year. And if we were talking tonight about the car corral right on East Branch Street, I just wanted to mention the fact that the car corral is looking pretty ratty. It needs paving. It could use a tree or two. And I think when it's time to renew the lease, it would be to talk about that. So that's.
No, settles it. Now you're moving.
The big hands. That works. It works.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Don't touch it.
Okay.
That's good. So.
You just have to be firm with it.
Okay. So. Now, what we have in our packet, pardon me, is a map of Branch Street. Looks like the city manager has a comment.
Yeah, we apologize. There's a couple of errors there. The exhibit was left off, and we got the exhibit from the prior agreement, which was the first supplemental information we distributed to the council. However, we determined that does not refer to the correct parcel. And so Rob has just passed out to you a the parcel map drawing showing the correct parcel. And so what we would do is recommend this evening you approve the proposed lease with a corrected correction made to the attachment, which we would provide. With that, maybe Rob can give you a little more background on the lease and the property itself.
The memo mentions two lease lots that the city has. One is with Andrew David, which involves the Car Corral closer to Nevada and East Branch Street. And that lease expires in other city parking alternatives along La Pointe. Neither the Mankins family nor the city were fully aware of the expiration. Both have intended that the lease would continue. So this is a action to request council authorization for the lease to be renewed for a five-year period.
And on the other note, the suggestion of improvements to the Car Corral lot is well taken. It's something that we've discussed in coordination with the streetscape project before. So we'll take that back, and we've had some discussions about including it as maybe like a second phase of the streetscape improvements.
Thank you. Now, is this legal description the right one for that?
No, unfortunately, that's the hotel lot, which is the Car Corral. So there were two leases, and I think in the last-minute attempt to provide the legal description that we pulled the attachment Exhibit A from the wrong lease.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments on 8F? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 8F.
Do we need the correct legal description in order to approve it tonight?
No, the depiction that you have in front of you will suffice, and I believe that's all that was included in the original lease.
All right, then I move acceptance of the lease renewal with the corrections forthcoming.
Okay, move approval of 8F?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. 8H. This is going to go very quickly. Just a question on this, Don, and the reason why I raise the question is because at our Sanitation District Board meeting, last board meeting, these agreements came up, and there was a correction that we made. And what we did was we changed on page one of attachment one, which is the agreement, the interagency agreement itself. If you look down to the now therefores, item three, the district will report inspection findings to each parent agency by the end of January 08, and each year thereafter if the agreement is renewed. In the draft that was originally circulated, the error was January. It said January 07. The attorney for the sanitation district corrected that to July 2007. This says January 2008. So I'm not certain at this point which date is accurate, but I can go ahead and I can go ahead and approve this subject to some coordination with the sanitation district so that we come up with the right date. That's all.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to introduce Melissa Mudgett. She's with the Wallace Group, who was instrumental in preparing the agreement, and she also was at the meeting, so maybe she can help.
I don't think you were at the meeting.
No, I was not at the meeting. However, I do know the answer to your question. The correct date should be the January 2008 date, and each year it's the end of January following that renewal. That date coincides with the annual operations report that is due to the Regional Water Board also at that time, a six-month compilation of inspection reporting.
Okay. All I'm saying is that the scratch copy that I walked away from, based on a discussion that came up with Mike Seitz, our district attorney for the sanitation district, changed January 2007 to July 2007. So that's what we have to fix.
Subsequently, it was reviewed again by Mr. Seitz and changed to January 2008.
All right, that's what
that
I'm asking.
Is the correct
Something
date.
Happened between the sanitation district board meeting and this presentation.
That is correct.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. With that, I'll move approval of 8H.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Do we have to read this agreement at all? No.
No.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
All right. Let me ask the audience, how many of you are here this evening because you have input in one form or another to 11A on our agenda, which is consideration of the center left turn lane on East Grand Avenue? Okay. We're going to move this up in the agenda because it doesn't look as though we're going to be able to take action on it. For the record, we're going to have to determine publicly why we can't this evening. But rather than have you sit here through two public hearings and then reach the same conclusion on 11A, we're going to go ahead and move that up in the agenda. And and then see if we can't get you out of here. So if it's okay with the council, I will call 11A at this time.
Mr. Mayor, I have to recuse myself, step down because of a potential conflict of interest because I own a piece of real estate in the area that's being will be discussed or will not be discussed. Should I leave the room or do I just stay for the
I don't think is it necessary, Tim, for him to leave at this point? Technically, I think you have to step down from the dais.
Okay. I think technically you do, but it's going to be a very short item, I know.
What we have now is obviously not a quorum. And when I think this is the second time it's happened in my almost 10 years up here. Our other two council members are on scheduled vacations. When this was put on the agenda, we were unaware of the conflict. So we now no longer have a quorum. We can take no action on this item. Obviously, it's an important item, and the council will address it when we have a quorum. But as it stands right now, we can't even take public testimony without a quorum. So my apologies. It's one of those things that happens rarely. I'm sure the notification will go out again when this item comes back to us. So for those of you who are here for 11A, this will be all that's discussed this evening on that item. Okay.
July 24th, 2006, the California Supreme Court ruled that metered rates for consumption of water and sewer charges are property-related fees, subject to Proposition 218. These fees may not be imposed or increased unless the local government conducts a majority protest proceeding 45 days after mailing notice to all property owners. In compliance with Proposition 218, staff mailed 6,600 public notices to property owners and users by May 11, 2007. Notices were mailed to our West Side customers in the April 1st billing and East Side customers in the May 1st billing. The notice provided directions on how and where to submit a written protest. As of today, the city has received 3 written protests to the proposed water rate increase, 2 written protests to the proposed sewer rate increase, and 3 written protests to the proposed Lopez rate increase. The rate increases brought to the council tonight are the same increases that were presented to council on June 14, 2005. At that meeting, the City Council approved the 2005 water and wastewater rate study and adopted resolutions establishing water and sewer rates and Lopez contract charges for fiscal years 2005-06, 06-07, 07-08, and 08-09. Due to the Proposition 218 requirements, staff is presenting this item to the Council again for approval. That completes my report, and at this time, the Public Works Director, the City Attorney, and myself are happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions on the staff report?
No questions.
No. I do have a couple of quick questions. And specifically in relation to Lopez. And if you recall, we just had our budget hearing, and there was an adjustment, what appeared to be somewhat of a favorable adjustment, even in terms of the near future on Lopez. And so I guess my question is, with those costs for the coming year going down, what effect does that have at all? How is it reconciled with this rate increase?
When Tuckfield and Associates did the rate study, they used the county's 5-year estimate for those. So it's pretty close. There may be, you know, some differences. We may have a little bit more revenue in some years and we may not. It's going to level out probably in the next, because we have, I think next year is when we actually start actually paying on the debt, the $26 million that we're responsible for, $12 million, I believe. I think that's right there.
Well, if I understood that Lopez spreadsheet, where it's providing us not so much relief, but a temporary stay of execution.
Right.
As the spreadsheet moves into farther into the future, then we're still going to have to pay those costs. It's just a question of when.
Right.
Okay.
And then we have another rate study planned in 07-08. So we'll have the county do another 5-year estimate, and you know, at that time, you know, hopefully we can either stop increasing that completely or even reduce it if we have enough funds available in there.
Okay. The trying to look for the last question I have, Angie, is structure, maintenance, so on and so forth, all of those things that might fall within the umbrella of our intent for the use of the money from the sales tax. How do we reconcile that, or did we at all?
I don't think the sales tax money is going to be used for water or sewer, so this would be, and then that also kind of encompasses the Lopez infrastructure. So I don't know if you want to address that.
Well, I believe that when we did make mention, there were when we were looking at the sales tax, there were specific mention of aging sewer lines.
Not sewer lines, storm drains. Basically, all the infrastructure that was not funded through the utilities were the ones we identified in the structure. So sometimes in the past, there's been some overlap between storm drain work and sewer work, so that's probably where the confusion is. But traditionally, we've funded sewer improvements through the sewer rates. Storm drains have never had a dedicated funding source, so those were the ones we were focusing on.
Okay. All right. Those are my only questions. Anyone else have questions? Okay. This is a public hearing, and so I would invite members of the audience, those who are here this evening, anyone wishing to address 9A, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. No one? Okay. If you would, please come up to the microphone. Okay. All right, 9A. Going once, going twice. Okay, we'll close the public hearing portion of 9A and bring this back for a motion. Or I should say discussion. So why don't we start with Council Member Guthrie? Everything's been so brief tonight. So.
Well, As Steph said, these are the same rates we approved. I guess it has it really been 2 years? 2 years ago, I still support that collecting enough revenues in order to support the system. I am encouraged by the impact of the tiered rate system, and I guess there's a part of me that wonders if we look into the future, how much of a improvement, if we get up to 15%, do we even need supplemental water at some point? I think we might take a look at that. But I am very encouraged by the impact of tiered water and of the retrofit program, and actually look forward to further improvement, particularly in single family, from our irrigation and landscape retrofit programs that are coming forward, where I think we'll actually have much bigger impact in that area, given both the rate structure and the potential for water conservation there. So I can support the motion as proposed this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Fellows?
Yeah, I agree with Councilman Guthrie. I think we need to be a little bit cautious on assuming that the tiered structure has actually been the sole driver of usage going down. I think there are other variables in charging what some of the cities charge. I think these are fair increases, and unfortunately, they're necessary, so I can support that.
Okay, thank you. I think probably we all need to thank our public and our community for engaging in our conservation programs and doing your part, especially in this year where our rainfall has been sparse, and we're hopeful that that we're not going to be entering into a drought period, but certainly it's in the papers these days. You see other communities already starting to move forward with their conservation program. So we're grateful for the efforts that, that the community has put in terms of water conservation. Once again, as my colleagues have indicated, this the rate study itself was approved some time ago. My only concern, as I mentioned earlier, was the Lopez treatment costs. But once again, it's not a question of what we pay, it's when we pay it. So I think for the difference, I think the benefit is just to leave it as is for now. If you look at the big picture, as Council Member Fellows indicated, the increases are nominal, and so I think this is our best course of action at this point. And I'll entertain a motion at this time.
I'll move approval of a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande establishing water rates and charges.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Is there another one in there?
Yes, sewer.
Two more?
There's
okay.
Sewer and
Mr. Mayor, I move adoption of a resolution establishing sewer rates and charges.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
I'll move a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande establishing the amount of the Lopez contract charges.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. All right. That moves us to 9B, consideration of an exclusive negotiating agreement, South Valley Developers. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, and Redevelopment Agency Board of Directors. At the July 25, 2006 meeting, the Redevelopment Agency Board of Directors approved acquisition of the vacant lot at the corner of Fay Street and El Camino Real to facilitate development of a hotel or mixed-use project. Previously, that property had been identified in the city's hotel attraction economic development strategy. Now, after discussions with a number of developers, staff at this time is recommending negotiating a proposal for a hotel development with a firm called South Valley Developers, and background information on that firm is included in your staff report. In order for them to agree to expend the funds necessary in order to prepare detailed plans to submit a proposal, they've requested the agency to enter into it is that by approving the ENA agreement this evening, the City Council and Redevelopment Agency is making no commitment towards approval of the actual project. This simply enables the negotiation process to proceed to develop a project. The as part of this process, the developer has agreed to, as a next step, have a series of meetings with residents of the neighborhood to identify any concerns and to try to address those concerns in the project design. One of the aspects about this particular developer that appealed to us is not only were they very interested and willing to work with the neighborhood, but they were also supportive of a conceptual design that would orient the hotel away from Fay Street to try to minimize the impacts on Fay. So we've had some initial discussions with them about these concerns. But as the process goes forward, they'll get into it in much more detail directly with the residents to try to address those. Lastly, I have distributed to you some minor modifications to the agreement. The only substantive change is an additional clause which would require the developer to submit conceptual plans, conceptual and schematic plans, through the city's pre-application process for the purpose of getting feedback both from the residents and each of the boards and commissions and council. And at the conclusion of that process, the developer would have the opportunity to terminate the agreement at that time based on whatever feedback was received. So we felt this was a protection both to the developer to avoid expending too much money before they got a feel for what the issues were and the feedback from council and residents, and a protection to the council to get a better feel for the project itself before you have to make much of a commitment, and the same for the residents to give them plenty of opportunity to have input into the project before it gets too far along. The process. So we felt this was a win-win and really addressed everybody's concerns. So that's been added to the agreement for your consideration. So at this point, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you have. Our redevelopment attorney and both and applicant are neither here this evening. So if there's any specific feedback you need from them, we could postpone the item, but hopefully I can answer your questions and we can move ahead.
Okay. Any questions? Sure.
Just one. Steve, I noticed in the packet from the staff and with the letters included from the developers that they have good, they have fairly decent architecture in some of their past projects, and they have been awarded service excellence awards and so on, but there probably isn't a guarantee that they will be the ones that operate the hotel for very long, or they wouldn't sell it immediately after it's developed. Is that right? So we might get good architecture, but maybe not excellent service, perhaps.
The service is probably going to be dictated by the type of the hotel, since this would be a chain. What we're focusing on right now is the proposal for Fairfield Inn, which is provided.
Members of the audience who would like to come forward on 9B, we would invite you to do so. Please be mindful of the three-minute rule. Please address the council as a whole. Anyone else or anyone who would like to come forward on 9B? Okay, well, you're going to have to decide who's going to come first. Okay. If you would please state your name for the record.
Molly Younger. I have a question about the height and how long the hotel is going to be, what kind of clientele they're looking at to bring in. Since I live right across the street on Fay Street, am I going to look at three stories of a brick building, or is it going to be noisy? I mean, those are the kinds of things that I'd like to address.
Okay. And I think just so everyone understands, I think since we're talking about a negotiation agreement here, this is an opportunity to start listing out some of the concerns. So I think what we've heard from our first speaker this evening or our first member of the audience is view shed, height of the building, noise. And I think what staff will do is capture that information so that when we begin the process, those are the things that can be addressed. Anyone else who would like to come forward, please do so.
Hello. My name is Maureen Herrera. I'm going to read it because I live at 324 North Alpine Street for the past 15 years. It's located on the eastern corner of Alpine and Fay. I'm opposed of this building. This 80-room hotel because of the reasons. My home faces west, and I will have no privacy in front, side, and back of my home. What is it going to do to my property value? There's a traffic congestion problem on on North Halcyon at this time, morning, noon, and night. And when this happens, traffic turns right on Fay and Alpine Streets. We also get the overflow traffic from the restaurant. Either they park on Fay or currently in the empty lot. all times of the day. We also get cars parking on Fay from the share right and park all down Fay. I would like to see them able to park in a parking structure across the street that proposed a lot. Where are these employees and guests going to park? We already have a parking problem. Guess where? In front of our homes. I also would like to see the VCA at the proposed site due to because when they wanted to expand, they were turned down, but now you are wanting to build a 2-3-story 8-room hotel. How would you like, one block away, how would you like to look at, how would you like to look out of your home and see an 80-room hotel, hear lots of traffic, see lots of cars in front of your home? We would like to be, we would all be viewed like a fish in a fishbowl. What happened to the city-town charm? Also, we'd like to be notified if there any things on this subject. Okay. Thank you. Good.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else, please come up to the podium.
Good evening. The restaurant that's already there. So unless they're going to tear that whole corner down, I can't imagine the size of a hotel that would fit 80 rooms plus parking that would fit on that spot. So let's not act desperate. Our city's not desperate. We have cute charm. It's a great place to live. Let's make some good decisions about that and definitely keep the whole community and the neighborhood involved in this decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Can I get you to pull that microphone down a little bit? There you go. It'll bend. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Yeah, just pull it down.
Pull it down. I don't want to break it like he broke his. I am Mary Tara Perry. I am the owner of the property at 315 North Alpine in the corner of North Alpine and Fay Streets. I have lived at this address for 44 years. I received this notice postmarked June 14th, 2007. My complaints and others are there will be a lot of noise and dust with the equipment. Will there be a time limit as to what time of day work will begin and end? There's a reason for that. I can tell someone later. Second, will there be a noise barrier put in if the plan goes through so that we in the neighborhood will not have to hear autos or other comings and goings all hours of the day and night? There will be a traffic and parking problem. For the traffic, are you planning on putting on, very important part, an overpass coming in from the freeway north to south? If not, the congestion at Briscoe and Halcyon interchange as of now is waiting for a disaster to happen. Parking. People will be parking in front of our houses so that if when we have family or visitors, they will have to park elsewhere. I have a wheelchair-bound granddaughter. If her parents have to bring her to my house and have to park two blocks or more from my house to bring her to my house, I won't go for it. Fourth, where is this money coming from to build the hotel? Are the taxpayers going to be stung again? You up the sales tax to 50 cents more. Those of us that are on living on Social Security checks are having a hard time to make an ends meet as of now. My suggestion is that you build the hotel south of town, plenty of room, or let the animal clinic be built there. At least dogs and cats won't honk their horns or rev their engines. I, Mary Tara Perry, do not wish for this hotel to be built. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
Good evening, Your Honor. My name is Ted Ackland. I live at 1222 Brighton Avenue in Arroyo Grande. I've been a resident of Arroyo Grande since 1972. My concern on this project is about bike, provide adequate bike lanes, for the safety of all both cars and bicycle. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward, if you would please come up to the podium.
Okay, again, my name is Jean Wade. I live here in Arroyo Grande. I've seen a lot of development happen here, and new hotels are being put in right now on El Mercado right there, which is going to be the Hampton Inn, and surrounding areas. The main thing that I'm concerned about is the consumption of water. We are going to have a bigger water problem in the future, and I'm wondering, with all these different projections for more space, more water to be used, has the building department ever considered making it a rule, in other words, demanding that any new construction that goes in have circulating water systems, the hot water systems, so that all the water doesn't go down the drain waiting for the water to heat up for showers, et cetera? That would save a tremendous amount of water everywhere. And I think that with all the building projects that have already gone through, it's about time that there is something positive said about consuming water and saving it. So that's what I have in my mind, because I've seen so much happen already since I moved into this area, and I'm very concerned about the fact that we'd always get the rain that we need to fill the reservoirs. So I do believe that it should be a policy of having any new construction put in circulating water systems and save a lot of water. And I don't know whether that's been brought up or not, but I think if the public hears about it, maybe they'll all decide maybe we should join together and demand that that be happening. So that's just a thought, because with all these new buildings, homes, hotels, motels, whatever is going to come up in the future, businesses too, they should have some kind of a circulating hot water system. That's all I have to say. It's just my comment. Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward on 9B?
Hello. My name is Dennis King. I live on 603 Fay Street. And my concern is just the traffic. I go to work in the morning about 7 to 8 o'clock, and you can't cross Fay Street from House Inn, going up House Inn at all. It's a mess. That was my concern. Lighting on the hotel would be the next concern, is how the lighting is going to be facing, because we live across from the Econo Lodge, and that lighting, it just comes right into our bedroom, and we're always closing the drapes just to keep it off of us. But that would be the only thing that I would look at. And then parking for the parking is really bad in our street. For the ride share, they over, when it fills up immediately about 7 o'clock, they come over to Fay Street. So that would be my concern there. And the height
is just some of the assumptions and things in the agreement, and I'd like to discuss them. One of the things that I think we need to discuss is the 80 room minimum. I think that they need to come with a project that fits the property, and not just saying that we're going to give them 80 rooms, because to get 80 rooms, they might have to go over three stories. I know it's going to be at least three stories, but to ask for a variance to go over three stories is just out of the reason. And so we shouldn't even give them in the agreement the assumption that it's a given that they're going to get 80 rooms. In the agreement, on the first page, item D, where it says Fairfield Marriott Standard Hotel, that standard kind of, I'd like that to be changed, not to say standard, because their standard is just a square building stacked floors. And for us to already agree that they're going to have that, I don't think that's what the city is going to want. We're going to want to look at this and have a nice hotel on that project, one that has adequate parking. And I have one more comment. I got to find it. It's in the agreement, and it's A.3, and it's talking about normally when we ask the developer to fund different studies like the environmental report and all that, they pay for it and the city picks it, so that it'll be independent. This down here says shall no way prohibit may limit the master developer's ability to choose or replace the consultants. I don't think that that's a good paragraph for the city to have. I don't see why they should have the ability to replace a consultant if the one we hired they don't happen to like. They can replace it. So I'd like to see that maybe reworded or rethought. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong. Okay. One of the reasons that getting back to the 80 rooms, in the city of Roy Grande, we've got three or four hotels. Now, the Econo Lodge is 41 rooms and is on an acre, and so that puts it at 41 units per acre. Best Western is 114 rooms, and that's 36 units per acre. The Hampton Inn that we just negotiated.
9B, and we will bring this back to the council. Before we continue on with this item, though, I've noticed that there are several folks who came in just recently. Did you folks by chance come in for item 11A? Okay. We took no action. We heard that item first, actually, and we did not have a quorum. One of our three members up here had to step down because of a conflict. So we took no action on 11A, and we cannot take an action tonight on 11A, and we can't even hear public testimony. So we'll have to wait until we have a full council back. So I just wanted to – I see you sitting there, so I just wanted to make sure that you understood. Yeah. Okay, now we're back on 9B, and let's see, Councilmember Fellows, why don't we start with you first?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It occurs to me that there's no way that I can decide whether, or maybe any of us can decide whether a hotel of any size, whether large or small, should go on that parcel. I certainly don't have anything against considering the negotiating agreement. The city's been trying to get a hotel there for quite a while. I think all the folks that spoke, I took notes. John King raises some very good questions, and I would like answers to those questions, which will probably be forthcoming, if not tonight. A pre-application is a very good idea. When the developer comes back with a proposal, it's a pre-application to get the feedback from all the Architecture Review Committee, the Planning Commission, City Council. I think that's an excellent idea. And that will certainly give everybody a chance to weigh in on the specific proposal that they make, whatever it might be. So I'm for going ahead with the negotiating agreement, give them a year without interference from other potential buyers to see what we can get there. And I like the idea that they propose at least to face the hotel toward the frontage road and definitely not present the lights and the traffic and so on towards you folks that live on Fay and Alpine. So I'm fine with it as proposed. That is, to look at what they have to present to us later on. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Guthrie?
I have similar comments. Certainly, we're I understand that the developer's position that they want to be sure that if they move forward and do all the work here, that in fact they have they're doing a bunch of work that somebody else then might step in and actually enjoy the benefits of. So I certainly can agree with going forward with the exclusive contract. I do have, and I'll ask staff to respond specifically to the replace consultant's comment. I couldn't turn quickly enough to find it in there. I don't know if that's a standard thing or if because it does sound a little ominous, at least in standalone. I would prefer actually that we'd had a pre-op in advance so that we had some idea what we were, you know, even trying to agree to. But I'm comfortable with putting this together at this point with the language that was added that may or may not be known to the public is that in fact they will come forward in 6 months with.
And once again, all we're doing this evening is giving some level of comfort to the Marriott folks that if they're going to invest money in drawing up site plans, if they're going to spend time and money meeting with all of you to listen to your concerns, that they're not going to have to be competing with three or four other major hotel chains in the process of doing that. That's all this does. Certainly does not hold us to a specific number of rooms, even though they want to negotiate that level. The other issue that Mr. Keene brought up, the language regarding the standard hotel, I think that was the same language that we used to describe the Hampton Inn when that went in, and I can't tell you how many hours we spent wrestling with those folks to make sure this wasn't a rubber stamp freeway type hotel, that it would blend into the community and fit nicely. So a lot of the language in this is, for lack of a better term, probably boilerplate. But what is to come as a result of this negotiation will be, I think, something that perhaps has the potential to fit very nicely. But we're a long way from there yet. And so in terms of unwrapping it and taking a good look at what the potential is for some transient occupancy tax and some more better selection of hotel rooms for the city of Arroyo Grande. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to our monthly mayor's meetings and I have to listen to Mary Ann Reese in Pismo Beach or Frank Meacham up in Paso Robles or Janice Peters in Morro Bay talking about how nice it is to have all of their lovely hotels in their communities, and we find ourselves, unfortunately, in a position of having limited room space and having to refer people who come to visit us to other jurisdictions because we don't have adequate lodging. So this is something that is in our economic plan. It's something that we've put on the drawing board. Now the question is, how do we make it fit, and how do we have something that's nice for our community without intruding so much in the neighborhood. So that's the balance that we're going to have to seek and search for. But that's again unwrapping this for us to be able to start those discussions. So I'm okay moving ahead with this evening. Perhaps we would all have a better comfort level if Tim or somebody could respond to that one paragraph regarding the consultants.
Certainly, I think it's worth reading the paragraph because that will shed a lot of light on what it says. Nothing contained in this Section 8 of the ENA shall prohibit or in any way limit master developer's ability to choose or replace consultants or other third parties retained by the master developer to perform services relating to the master developer's obligations under the ENA. Their obligations under the ENA are to draft essentially a site plan, a preliminary site plan. What that says is they can hire their own architects, they can hire their own landscape architects. We don't have the ability to tell them you can't do that. It's the type of latitude that they actually need in order to move forward with the project. It's not very restrictive and very much stock and trade.
Okay. There are other clauses in the agreement.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Council Board Member Fellows?
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, that takes us to item 10, continued business. We have none this evening. 11 is new business, and 11A we have already heard. And that takes us to item 12, City Council Reports. And we will start with me. And the SLOCOG has not met in formal session since I gave my last report. However, we have attended several, or two, I think, executive board meetings for SLOCOG Slorda. One particularly was Slorda, the Regional Transportation Agency. We are still in the process of attempting to co-locate Ride-On and RTA in a joint operational maintenance facility in south on South Higuera, south part of the city of San Luis Obispo. And so we are negotiating with both Ride-On and trying to mediate some maintenance issues with Penske so that we can hopefully potentially have one maintenance provider under that roof if it works out. The other report for South County San Luis, Luis Obispo Sanitation District, I've attended two meetings since the last report. Right now we're in the budget approval phases, and we expect that the budget's going to be approved very soon. There'll be a special meeting on July 5th for budget adoptions. Aside from that, the plant itself is operating wonderfully well, and seems like everything that we were having some difficulty with out at the plant, they're now working just fine. So good news there. Mayor Pro Tem is not here this evening. Councilmember Costello is not here this evening. And so we'll move to Councilmember Guthrie with South County Area Transit and Joint Powers.
Well, I don't have a report on Joint Powers, but I do have on SCAT. I actually have some fairly exciting news. Well, this is actually assuming that the RTA approves some other changes, but we have taken a look at changing significant changes to the scheduling of the SCAT system in order to tie it in better with what will be a really exciting improvement to the RTA, which would be to move to one-hour service in the South County to San Luis Obispo between Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo, including Arroyo Grande, that there would be one-hour service. In order to accomplish that, it would require that SCAT provide the local the public transportation services. Thank you.
Good. It's seems like a never-ending challenge, but it's I think we're finally starting to close the gap. For those of you who understand the public transportation system, the balance has already always been to try and integrate the local transit systems with the regional transit system so there can be connectivity from different regions of the county. So that's why SCAT is excited about better coordination with RTA. And the same thing's happening up in North County as well and the western end of the county with service providers in Morro Bay. Councilmember Fellows.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the South County Youth Coalition meeting on May 24th. Also in attendance was Doug Perrin, our new Parks, Recs, and Facilities Director. Doug reported on the summer activity guide for Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and Oceano Community Center, that the guides are available for things to do during the summer. And also summer child care at Harlow Elementary from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. for kindergarten through 7th graders is available. Camp Elm Street did begin June 19th at Elm Street Park. There will be swimming, field trips, and other activities. Parks and Rec's phone number, if you need some information from them, or the schedule is 473-5474. There are quite a few folks in the Youth Coalition leaders that help out in the community. I'll try just to report on the highlights that are pertain to Arroyo Grande. So the last item that I would like to mention to you is that Big Brothers Big Sisters still needs volunteers. They need the bigs, not the littles, lots of littles. They need some Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And also their golf tournament fundraiser is coming up August 26th. And their phone number is 781-3226. Now, the Water Resources Advisory Committee met on the 6th of this month. And again, they discuss all over the county. I'll try to hit the highlights of locally. Now, I heard, even though I haven't read this in the newspapers, Josh, but it was mentioned that Pismo Beach has applied for a Clean Beaches grant and that their application is on the recommended project list for a $500,000 grant to study pigeon poop. Study some of the source of the ocean pollution, maybe pigeons or whatever, then solve the problem over in Pismo. Again, as Councilman Guthrie mentioned a few meetings ago, Paso Robles is still discussing water banking, very lengthy discussion. I have a staff report if anyone here is interested on that. And then quagga mussels are headed our way. And I thought, being a retired biologist, I thought that was interesting. Quagga mussels are freshwater mussels that are about a half inch to an inch long. They were first discovered in the Great Lakes, I think, 15 or 20 years ago. And there were a few images shown on the screen that they started out somewhere up in a port in Michigan. Now they're all the way down the Mississippi River. Not a big concern for us, except that now they've been discovered in Lake Mead, and they expect to perhaps Lake Lopez. I have a feeling that's not going to help very much. So the experts have been called in. And eventually, I think the bottom line is we'll have them, and it'll raise our maintenance costs on our pipelines and so on. And that's all the good news I have from the RAC meeting.
Okay. Thank you. All right. That takes us to item 13, city council member items. We have one this evening. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, this relates to the removal and replacement of that was approved by of a home over on East Cherry that was approved by the Planning Commission. I would like to see us as a council take a look at that project. So I'm asking that we achieve consensus on an appeal of that decision. I don't know if you guys need specifics or generally we just see if there's consensus on it.
If that's your request. I can't recall an incident when we've not allowed a council member who's had a desire to hear an item that was approved or any other item by any of our committees or commissions that we wouldn't go along with at least hearing it. So I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't know if it requires a second, but I'm certainly in favor of the proposal to take a closer look to appeal the approval.
No, just consensus.
Okay.
So I think we have consensus to bring it to us. Okay. All right. Any city manager items? Item 14. Anything tonight, Steve?
No, sir.
Okay. Council communications. Actually, there's one thing that I wanted to mention, and this came, I think, to all of us, but it was mentioned to me by RRM, Eric Justison. I gave a presentation to a Slow Leadership Forum, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And he mentioned to me that our senior apartment building over on Cortland and Grand received quite a recognition, and so I just wanted the community to be aware of it. The Cortina de Arroyo, located at 241 Cortland, received the National Association of Home Builders Best of the 50-plus Housing Awards, and that ceremony took place in Denver, Colorado. So it's quite an accomplishment for our city, and they pointed out several of the features of that project that mostly focused on the design of the buildings and the courtyard and the recreation on the inside of that facility that are just really beautiful. So Hats off to the staff and everyone else who worked very hard on that project. This was a joint effort between the developer and our city staff and redevelopment agency and everybody else. It was quite a undertaking. So I just wanted to mention that. And then the only other thing that I'd like to mention is that I'll be attending the League of Cities policy committee meetings up in San Jose. I'm sorry. Okay, seeing no one, we'll close item 17, and that takes us to item 18, which is adjournment. So, thank you very much.